The question is, how has the media landscape changed since the days you were at the helm of NBC Entertainment, and what are the new challenges, if any?
Okay. Well, back in the mid-90s and the heyday of must-see TV, Thursday night at NBC, we averaged 75 million Americans made an appointment to come to Thursday night for their entertainment. And back then, that was a third of the country. And we were able to provide a three-hour destination. Well, since those days, and of course, can't help but plug my book, you know, and I wrote about the rise and fall of must-see TV in my book, Top of the Rock. There's been an explosion of choices for information and entertainment across a variety of platforms. And what that's done in terms of challenges is, with more choices, it's just harder to aggregate the kind of large audiences that we enjoyed back in the day. You also find the world we're in now, where cable has kind of taken the bragging rights of innovation and bold programming, and it's left networks to still strive for a larger audience, but it's more difficult to achieve that sense of who are they? Who are they as a network? They still want to be broad, and yet they want to have some branding, some specificity. It's much easier to be a niche than it is to be broadcast. And I think that's very much the challenge for them in the face of tremendous competition. How do you define yourself? And again, every month there seems to be a new player, whether it's Netflix, Amazon. Every month there's an announcement of a new player who's decided to make original product, and their delivery system is different from those that we've had in the past. So the challenges are enormous, and yet, as we look at the landscape, there are great choices for the viewer. The viewer is the winner, clearly, in my opinion, in this day and age.
Okay. Now, obviously, that makes it more difficult for the networks to profit in any way. I mean, is that a real concern? I mean, I get to that in some of these questions.
Network and cable, you know, gone are the kind of massive profits, again, that we enjoyed in the must-see TV years. But network and cable both want to own the majority of their product. If you have ownership, you're sharing in the risk, you're building the asset, and then across multiple platforms throughout the world for eternity, that can be a business. Mm-hmm. Control the costs, and then build enough eyeballs so that is a profitable equation, and that certainly can be done, but much more broadcasters want to be content owners as well as distributors through their airwaves. So that's certainly a significant change in the marketplace.
This next question is really kind of feeds off your answer, which was wonderful. Is convergence the new buzzword, or will traditional channels of new content, such as broadcasting historically, still have a space in the market?
Well, broadcast isn't dead. In the marketplace, broadcast is selling reach. If you're in a broadcast network, your goal for success is can we deliver 10 million viewers to a specific show? You could still be around with a little less. You hope to have more. But 10 million is kind of your hope. That will spell success. Now, in cable, you're really looking for 5 million, right? So if you want to introduce a new product for advertising sales, that broadcast reach is still very, very valuable, and advertising compensates well for it. And that makes, particularly right now, with the economy doing pretty well, that makes for a healthy broadcast environment, even though those eyeballs, the number of eyeballs, aren't what they used to be. And imagine on a cable buy, if you're an advertiser, you're having, it's a smaller party. It's a party that runs again and again and again. So advertisers will buy reach, but they'll also buy that smaller, more elite party, if you will, for specificity of audience. Today's media companies really are positioned to play, they are trying to aggregate content and distribute across multiple platforms. And you're looking at most media companies that have valuations of over $50 billion, and they have network, they have cable, they have web, they have, they're playing in each and every one of these spheres.
It seems to me that producers of content are starting to realize how the internet and other social media platforms can help them build audience. Do you have any thoughts on how producers are using social media and the internet to bring audiences?
Well, the second screen is very much a popular term. I don't think social media is in any way a fad. In a world where the viewer is given massive choices, you really, really have to try and build that critical mass of success. Whether you're in cable, again, a 5 million goal per episode, or broadcast, a 10 million goal of audience per episode. In order to reach that critical mass, to get that, you need to take advantage of everything that social media can do. So original content on a second platform, setting up chat rooms, websites, all of the things that get further engagement. Whoa, very nice. Thank you. Where you can get a deeper engagement for the consumer with the product, that passion is critical. I'm up here in Calgary making Fargo, and my commute from my apartment downtown out to the studio in the morning, I go by a store that has massive banners up for Sons of Anarchy clothing and all kinds of Sons of Anarchy material that they sell. Always just, they're out on the street. They have all kinds of signs and banners, Sons of Anarchy sales. And, that is part of what you need to do. Every way you can touch your audience with marketing, with content, and make them feel a connection is critical to your success. And if it creates another revenue stream, all the better.
We over at Montclair, a town that you probably are familiar with, we call what you've just been discussing transmedia. Is that a term that they use out there in on the West Coast?
Yes, absolutely.
Let me ask you this question, because this is we have two more. This is more for the students. Our programming is at the college is developing the next generation of TV and film professionals. This is both in the content area and the production areas. Is there any advice you can give them, and what skill sets do you think they'll need to master?
Absolutely. I would first start by saying watch everything. Regardless of the platform, you need to know the product because it gives you, whether or not you race to your television set for flesh-eating zombies, you need to understand why that's the highest-rated program in adults 18 to 49. So Walking Dead, you have to at least have watched a few times to understand what that dynamic is. Following literally all platforms, all content, network, cable, what's popping up on websites, you really, really must be informed. And then go make something. Start small, and do it really well. And I think the first question you ask is, who is it for? Now, it's much easier to satisfy a small group of people than it is a mass group of people. But that's okay. Start small, define with great specificity who will kill to see this content. And it does not... Everyone can have a camera today. Everyone can create content and start small, build it. And you see how much you learn simply by being in the process, refining that. And when it has a pure specificity, when it's do it well, and you'd be surprised how much attention you get regardless of the size of the platform. And then you move up to larger and larger platforms as your skills increase and as you take on concepts that are more broader based. But it's a very, very exciting time because the barriers to entry are not nearly as high as they used to be. No one has a lock on great ideas.
Right. Oh, that's terrific. I don't have to ask you this last question because you've already addressed it.
Well, look, I will try and touch in a little bit on that last question because, yes, audiences will fragment. And the challenge for producers, for creators, is not only are you competing against the present, but you're competing against the past. And again, it's education is knowing and understanding what worked in the past, and then perhaps holding up a mirror of the world we live in today and say, is there a reinvention of that idea? How do we reflect the world we live in today? What is that? What are the opportunities that that offers? While not simply doing a retread of what's already been done before. Your greatest upside, I've always found, is when you cut across the grain. If you can step into territory that is original, that feels like for some reason our world of entertainment has ignored this character, how this character fits in a family, how this character fits in a world, in a work environment. When you can step into that frame of fresh territory. You have this sense that particularly television does better than any other medium, and that's a sense of discovery. And audiences covet that, and they're hungry for it. You know, the black box consumes a tremendous number of ideas, and it eats up talent. It's extremely demanding, but it's hungry for more. And that leaves me feeling very, very positive and buoyant about the next generation of talent, what they can bring, and ideas that I would have thought once ridiculous. Who would ever watch that?
Yeah.
Just may be the best, freshest new idea that's ever come down the pike. And that's exciting for me as a viewer to see.
I remember we had spoken a couple of years ago. You were developing some mobile programming, or did I mishear that? Or
it's possible. I'm not sure I remember, but I'm old.
I think I'm the same age, Warren. So
okay.
That's an interesting idea. Mobile viewing.
All platforms are viable now.
Yeah.
And we're finally maybe getting a program monitoring system. I mean, Nielsen has been horribly behind the curve.
Yeah.
To be able to actually track who's watching what, where, and how. But they may finally be updating their technology to see, because particularly with the younger generation, we thought that iPhones were going to be used primarily as phone functions, and in fact, they're really informational and entertainment tools. And that was the surprise even to Apple when they went into the iPhone, how much content and information it comes out of that device.
Yeah, that's the exciting part about the future. We simply have no idea what the next wonderful innovation is going to be.
That's right.
Listen, Warren, I can't tell you how much I thank you for calling me and spending some time over the international phone lines.
It's my pleasure, Larry, and I'm glad things are going well for you, and I'm going to go hit lunch.